Today I'm going to talk to you about something I got inspired by today. I was listening to a podcast on the NPR podcast, How I Built This, with Guy Raz, and it's about Wayfair. And Wayfair is an enormous e-commerce company, originally known as CSN Stores, and also was used to be 200-plus niche sites, including things like allbarstools.com and everygrandfatherclock.com and all these other ones. You can listen to the podcast. It's on the, like I said, the How I Built This podcast. So I wanted to share a little bit about the company with you guys. It's really interesting. So back in 2011, the company decided to wrap up all of its stores, its 200 different online shops, and actually consolidate them into one. So before this had happened, they had actually created CSN Stores, which was sort of the precursor to this back in 2008. And so what they wanted to do was to make it easier for themselves to do marketing for all these different brands. Instead of having to do marketing for 200 plus brands, some of which are really big, they could roll them all into one and do marketing for one brand. And then of course, what that led to was taking on international and, or took taking on public investment and also going international. So this whole process was insanely big for them. I mean, obviously 200 plus stores. The guys started back in 2002 in college, and they started building out one store, which was successful, and another store and another store, and started growing and outsourcing. And mostly what they were selling was different types of furniture, home decor, things for the office, things for the kitchen, home improvement goods, beds and bath materials, luggage and lighting. And by 2006, it says they earned $100 million in sales, which is insane to think about. Like one of these niche stores that I help people build can earn somewhere between like, $500,000 to $1 million in sales annually, annual revenue. But these guys are doing not just one store, but like 200 different stores. So think $1 million in annual sales for one store, and think about $100 million in sales if you have that many stores. So they really took the idea of scaling and building new stores to a whole new level. It was insane what these guys did. And this was back in 2006, more than 10 years ago. And it was before like drop shipping was well known as a business model. They were just going to trade shows and calling companies and seeing if they would be willing to ship direct for them. And a lot of the companies said yeah, but they were also turned down by a lot of companies. So these guys kind of paved the way for a ton of entrepreneurs to get into the businesses like this later on, which is really cool. So you can go out there and you can start a niche site just like these guys did. What was the one? Allbarstools.com. You can go out and start a website just selling bar stools. It's a niche site just on that one niche. You can get, 10, 20, 30 plus suppliers into that store, different types of bar stools, and you have a huge selection all in one place for that consumer to go. And that consumer can come back from you and buy different bar stools all the time, or, people can all around the world can buy bar stools from you. You can ship internationally, you can ship in the US. You can have US-based suppliers, so shipping is fast and easy. And it's really possible. And these websites are not that difficult to get to a $500,000 a year in revenue. And to scale to $1 million in your revenue is not a whole lot more difficult beyond that. It just takes a little bit of careful planning. So that's the kind of thing I teach in my academy, because I've actually done this twice now. Well, really, in reality, three times, on my way to doing it three times. And so, these guys are the perfect case study because they've done it so many times. I mean, 200 plus stores is literally insane to think about. But the one thing that they did that I don't agree with was a good idea, was that they decided to roll all of them into one main store. Now, of course, this just kind of goes with entrepreneurship. We as entrepreneurs want to build bigger businesses. We want to expand. It's just something we're always trying to do, right? And part of that is the fear that if we are not expanding, we're going to fall back into, we're basically going to decline. It's either expand or decline. There's not a whole lot of like just staying steady and chilling, right? Part of us as an entrepreneur feels like, yeah, that would be a really nice life to live. But then the other part realizes it's just not possible. So we're always trying to grow. We're always trying to build new things. And so what they decided to do was to do the biggest thing they could. They went and created a word, called it Wayfair, and came out of nowhere. And sort of they paved the way for this giant, all-in-one housing site. So if you look at their website now, it's kind of like Amazon or all these other sites like Hayneedle. You can go and find pretty much anything you want to related to the home. There's a lot of categories they don't sell. Like they don't sell a whole lot of outdoor stuff that's out of the home. Like hobby-wise and stuff like that, but they do sell everything related to the home. And any one of these categories, you could just pick and build a niche site in. Like you could build a niche site in fire pits and patio heaters. You could build a niche site in greenhouses. You could build a niche site selling grills. You could build a niche site selling storage sheds. You know what I mean? But they rolled it all into one. So by doing that, what they were able to do is to actually go public. They were able to get investors to invest and their website in one brand, because now it's all in one. And so they have one company, one big brand, and they were able to raise $165 million in venture capital in their first round of funding, which is insane to think about. You know, it's just like pretty much valuing their website really high. Here's some examples of the niche sites that I was talking about earlier: cookware.com, luggage.com, strollers.com, bedroomfurniture.com. Really, really a broad words, not even a branding word with it, you know. And that was that's amazing that they were even available back then. But if you think about it, not too many people were doing this back then, and especially with dropshipping. So now that's under Wayfair.com, and all these domains either point to it or they're available for sale. So, you know, with that said, they've done some amazing growth since then. But the interesting thing about it is that it's not all like, you know, rainbows and butterflies for them. What's been going on with them is that even with the insane amount of growth, they've been having a lot of issues maintaining their net profit. So the most recent article on this I could find was February 23rd, 2018, so not too long ago, a couple months ago. It says Wayfair reported a 48% revenue growth in Q4, which is insane to think about. You're already doing, I think they were already doing a billion in sales or a couple billion in sales. They literally, 48% is not doubling sales, but they raised, you know, a quarter of their sales up. So maybe they were at like, you know, 2 or 3 billion. Well, now they're at 4 billion, which like just literally is still insane to think about. But the crazy thing is that the company literally lost $244 million in net profit. So what does that tell you? You know, like, yeah, it tells you that number one, the profit margin is pretty low as far as business models go. That this isn't the type of business model, online retail is not the type of business model where you can grow like insane amounts of growth and yet reinvest like huge amount of your profits into research and development, into building out new channels, into, you know, selling internationally, creating new platforms across the world. You know, and so what I have to say about this is that if you want to grow, right, it takes money to grow. It takes money and it takes time. So you have to think about in which way are you capable of growing as a human being, you know, because as running a niche dropship store, you're just one person. And so you're only available, you know, so many hours of the day, and you're only able to work so many hours of the day. And then of course you only have, you know, so much you already know how to do. So it's like, you can either grow in a certain number of ways. You can grow by getting more suppliers. You can grow by adding more content to your website, getting more traffic. You can grow by trying to increase your conversion rate, or maybe using email marketing more and working more to increase your conversion rates and working on building more ads out to bring, you know, more traffic to your website and stuff like that. So you can grow in that direction, or you can actually grow in a different business model. You can like wrap up different business models into yours. So a few ideas I have, you know, that Wayfair really should consider taking on that I don't think they do enough of is they should do more things related to subscription services, and they should do more things related to information and software, and they should do more things related to other really high margin business models like membership programs and communities and things like that. So, you know, Wayfair is so focused on the online retail model that they haven't taken the effort to follow the Amazon method, which is building out a membership program. That's, you know, very, very, very lucrative. Building out a affiliate program where they have tons of affiliates driving traffic for them, so they don't have to spend so much money to drive traffic. They haven't spent enough money and time and effort building out software. Like Amazon has this whole thing called Amazon Web Services, and it's a whole ton of hosting. Like what hosting is basically a bunch of computers in a basement somewhere cool that can run software. So it's, you know, they haven't invested in like hardware places where they can have hosting in and then sell that to other companies like Amazon has. They haven't invested in any of the information stuff that Amazon has. Like they haven't created any kind of a Kindle resource. Amazon, of course, is known for starting selling books. And so they grew beyond that into making this thing called the Kindle, which now they sell digital versions of books. And digital versions of books, if you think about it, are super high profit, because even though they're only 10 or 20 bucks, maybe 15 bucks at the most, what they are is they're light, obviously lightweight. They're digital. They don't have any weight. They're easy to ship. All right. They're digital. They can be delivered literally across the world in seconds, no shipping. And to store, it's very inexpensive to store digital products, right? So they should work towards that. You know, and that's the reason why they're unprofitable, because they're trying to grow in all these directions, but they're growing in directions that are very cost heavy for growth. You know, they're growing to try to build, what are they saying here? They're trying to drive growth, R&D, corporate overhead. They're trying to fund investments in Wayfair's infrastructure to support and fund domestic and international growth. You know, whatever that means, they're just not growing in the right directions, right? And if you read here, this is very dead on to what online retail businesses do. It says they generate 23% gross margin on revenue, which is about average. And yet they spend 11 to 13% on sales and marketing to drive growth, which is pretty average. So that leaves 10 to 12% of net profits to spend on other things, right? So think about that. That's the exact same thing I deal with in my business every day, literally like to the T. 23% gross margin, 11 to 13% sales and marketing costs, 10 to 12% net profits at the end of the day. So that's the coolest thing about doing a niche dropship site is that you as a person, you then have 10 to 12% net profit to pay yourself with, to live your life with. Your overhead is you. Your overhead is your situation, your home, your family, your computer, your everything you spend money on every day, your car, whatever it is. That's your overhead, is your life, your lifestyle. These guys, on the other hand, they have offices. They have hundreds and hundreds of employees. They have a huge amount of research development things set up. They are trying to fund investments, right? Domestic and international growth. And just think about that. Like, you can't do all that on 10 or 12% net revenue, net profits, even on $4 billion. You're going to lose $250 million in sales in a quarter. It's literally that insane. So guys, as a business owner, consider learning new skills. Consider using your extra time instead of deciding, oh yeah, you know, I have so much money now, I have a great running business, I can literally just chill all the time and not do anything. Instead of that, and also instead of trying to grow your store beyond your initial niche, consider using other business models to grow your business. So consider setting up a membership site to train somebody how to do something, or to create a community that somebody's willing to pay for access to, and selling it. Consider making subscription products for your website. Subscription products are awesome because they're usually lower cost products, but they're bought on a regular basis. So somebody's going to subscribe to that. They're going to get it every single month. And usually it lasts for 6 months to a year. And you know, then they finish it off, but you can get a lot of people to buy those things. So you can take any accessory you have that is consumable and then put it on a subscription order basis and promote that. You can also sell just straight off information products without a membership site. So you can create, you know, how-to things. Like, let's just say you had a website selling grills. You could create a course on how to grill. Yeah, you might think, oh, they could just go to YouTube and find that information. While that's true, the thing about YouTube is that it's very distracting. It's a platform where people consume entertainment, not how-to stuff as much. And people do consume how-to stuff. But if you can set up a course, set up a sales page, set up a video for that, set up an email sequence, set up, you know, make your checkout page nice and friendly, you can send traffic to it and get some sales. It's true, and it works. And if you want to learn how to do that, the best resource, in my opinion, is a book called Dotcom Secrets, and it teaches you how to sell information products. It teaches you how to sell coaching and information products and services like that. And you can take that business model and apply it to any how-to niche, right? And so if you already have a dropship store in selling grills, any type of grill, you could teach people how to grill. You don't have to just put it in a blog post and think that's going to be perfect for everybody. Not everybody likes learning from blog posts. People like learning from videos. People like learning from structured courses. You know, YouTube is not a structured course. You watch one video and it's done and it'll go to the next one. And it depends on your viewing habits as to what video they show you next. So consider setting up that, because it's super valuable. And it could be more, you know, it could be like if you have any kind of niche or whatever, like for grills, for instance, you could teach people about health and how to eat healthy. I mean, that's a perfect thing, right? If you're a vegan, you could teach people how to grill vegetables and how to make healthy food on their grill or something like that. Let's just take another niche, for example, that's really good. Outdoors, like camping. Camping's a great niche. You could literally create an online course on how to camp. There's tons of things people need to know before they go camping, and you could create a course on that and sell it for like 20 or 30 bucks, and people all around the world can buy it and consume it, and you can make passive income that way. Yes, it takes a lot more time and effort than it sounds like up front, for sure. 10 times as much effort than you think it's going to take in the beginning. But once you create it, oh, and by the way, the process of creating it is also very fun because it's something you're passionate about. And that's also key. Don't try to go out and make an information product on something you either don't know a lot about, you aren't passionate about, because you're going to run into a lot of obstacles along the way. And the only way you're going to get through it is having some passion behind it. But with that said, it's very profitable in the long run. And Wayfair, unfortunately, I just don't think they're really doing that. They're focusing on the online retail method. And while that's fine and all, other companies are doing it way better. Companies like Amazon, companies like eBay even, where they have more of a marketplace setup, right? So they let other people list products. They let other people fulfill them and do all the heavy work and have all the overhead while they just take a percentage of that margin. eBay takes like 9%. Amazon takes around 15%, which includes the merchant processing fee. So it's more like 12% because usually that's around 3%. So with that said, consider, you know, you could even do a marketplace. You could literally set up your Shopify store like a marketplace. I wouldn't suggest that. I've never done it. I don't know if that's profitable or not, if you can even do that these days, but heck, you know, you can try it, right? So it's a higher margin model. It takes less overhead. So consider what online retail is, the margins that come with it, and what different business models are out there that have higher profit margins, right? And so how can you work those business models into your current model? And you don't need to make them the same. You can make a separate membership site or blog or whatever than your dropship store, but you can also combine them, right? You can say to your dropship store customers, hey, did you know we also have this blog, or we also have this membership site? Go check that out. You can say that in emails, blog posts. You can say that in your social media. You can talk to them through their marketing somehow. You can even put banner ads, you know, on your website and places. And you can say the same thing to the blog and the membership site. You can say, hey, did you know we offer online retail? We have a retail store selling products you might be interested in. And you can send people there. So that's what we're working on right now. We have a store and we sell products, and we're making a membership site now for those same people because we think that it could be really useful for them. And that's going to be a really fun case study to talk about later on to, you know, say, you know, how it's improved our business in the long run. Because I really do believe in fully that it's going to help improve the business. It's going to help bring more customers in from different channels, and it's going to help us to provide more value to those customers we already have, which is super important. So consider that in your business. I know it's kind of a crazy idea, and as an entrepreneur, you really have to decide what the best avenues for growth are that aren't going to consume too much of your time, but are also going to be very profitable later on, and go towards those avenues. One last thing I'd like to say is that if you want to follow the Wayfair method, of just building out multiple niche sites. I wouldn't really call it the Wayfair method. I just call it, you know, the niche site method, but you can do that too. You know, why stop at one niche site when you can go into either a similar niche or a completely different niche? You can build multiple niche sites out. The only thing I have to say is that with each site, it's really good just to stick with your initial niche, build that out and focus on that one product category. Go as deep as you can and then stop there. Don't go wide in any one store, or at least not too wide, because you really don't want to make it too difficult for yourself to market any one product. Because when you set up one store, you have all these marketing channels that are going to be pushing you know, the sales and the stories upon that customer so they can buy those products, right? This includes your Google AdWords account, your SEO, your blog, your email marketing, all that stuff. And so on one niche site, it's really good just to focus on that niche. And then if you want to start something else and similar, start a separate site for that. Do your research so you know that it's going to be something that's worthwhile in the long run. It's going to be profitable. It's going to be a big enough niche. There's enough customers. There's enough products to sell, enough revenue to make it worthwhile. But build that out and build it separately, you know? So, for instance, if I were to go to Wayfair, I could show you some examples right now. You know, if you're selling furniture, if you're selling, you know, bedroom furniture, for instance, you start a bedroom store, you sell beds, headboards, dressers, nightstands. You wouldn't want to put bar stools, you know, dining tables and dining chairs in the same store. It just wouldn't really make sense. And for that matter, you wouldn't want to start your own Wayfair. It's just too much to deal with. It's really difficult to run all your marketing stuff and still look like an expert and have all these different categories. It takes teams of people, and you are literally one person in the beginning. And unless you're really good at managing people and you want to start a big business, have a big office and teams of people, don't start that way. You have to start with a niche site. So build a bedroom site, build a separate site for kitchen stuff, even a separate site for just bar stools. If you look at these niches and you discern how much demand there is and how many different suppliers there are in that niche, for instance, you can decide to start a separate site in a very sub niche. You know, and that's probably why there was a site just for bar stools. You could start a site just selling, you know, dining room tables, chairs, and dining room sets. You know, that would be one store right there. A separate store selling kitchen islands. A separate store, I wouldn't do a store selling sideboards and buffets. It seems a little bit too small, but it goes into the dining room store, right? You could do a store selling office stuff, desks, chairs, bookcases, and filing cabinets to go along with that. That looks like a great store to start. And then you can start a separate store selling living room furniture, like sofas, TV stands, you know, chairs and recliners, futons, sleepers, coffee tables. That looks like a nice store to start. So you can go that direction too. It just depends on you It depends on your abilities and skill sets. And it depends on what direction you want to go in life too. You know, like, are you the type of person that wants to get in front of the camera all the time and actually film a course? Are you the type that likes to write a lot and write a blog or maybe write emails all the time and do affiliate marketing? Are you the type of person that doesn't like to do any of that stuff but still wants to make money online? Well, get behind retail. Retail is a great model. And yes, there's tons and tons and tons of opportunity out there. That's why I teach it in my academy, because I realize that people don't really think about it. People think that, oh, e-commerce is dead, dropshipping is dead. In reality, it's not. It's just most people fail because they don't know a proven system to do it. They don't know how to market and drive traffic. And they don't know how to do customer service very well. And they end up getting burnt out. And or they just choose the wrong niche, something that is hard to sell or just has, you know, crappy suppliers and crappy products. And they just, you know, they burn themselves out online. So it's really important to pick a good niche. And there's certain ways to check on that before you start it that I teach in my academy. And you have to make sure that it's big enough, and you have to make sure that, you know, you do what's needed to build it out properly. You know, you have to learn branding. You have to learn how to do site structure. You have to learn how to do site optimization. You have to learn how to close sales online. You have to learn the sales process. You know, it took me a long time to learn the sales process, but I read a lot of books on it. I just sat down and read books, and that taught me. And a lot of it was from old books, old marketers and stuff like that that were teaching it. So I'm kind of going on now and different tangents, but I just wanted to make this really apparent to you guys, like what's going on out there in the world. And that is that places like Wayfair are struggling because they're not utilizing proper marketing methods anymore. You know, they used to be. They were doing it great when they had all these niche sites. And in my opinion, they should have stuck with all the niche sites and grown out their teams for each niche site. And they would have had a niche site empire. And that's awesome, because then you can sell each one if you know decide to, and you keep and you can start new ones and all that. But now they have it all on one website. And it's really difficult to drive everything through one website. Very difficult. So keep that in mind, guys. In my opinion, it's best to just go with the niche sites, build them out, and then focus on doing stuff like Amazon does, you know, grow into different business models within the same store or build separate ones on that and stuff like that too. But at the end of the day, you have to decide what you're going to be good at, what you're going to have fun with, and what you want to do, you know, and just do it. You know, stop wondering so much. Stop doubting yourself. Stop thinking, oh, it's not possible, any of that BS, and just try it. Think of yourself as an entrepreneur or scientist and run tests and run experiments. You know, the experiments, the method of experimenting scientists use is you have to have something that doesn't change, and then you have your changing, you know, part, and you run that against each other. It's like split testing. It's like, okay, I'm gonna try this business model and see what happens, and I'm gonna write this business model and see what happens, and do it the way these guys say to do it, and see what happens. You know, and nothing ever is a failure. It's just an experiment. Okay. And like Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. It took him like a million freaking tries to get there. And every single one was a failure, but he didn't see it as a failure. He just saw it as one step closer to actually getting the right thing. So think of yourself as a scientist. Think of yourself as an inventor. And get out there and do some experimenting and do some inventing, guys, and figure it out on your own. I mean, you have a family to support. You have, you know, traveling you want to do. You have things you want to buy. You want to get that big home. You want to be able to pay off all your debt. You know, you have to take action to do that. It's not just going to come too easy. It's not just going to come for free. So that's it, guys. I'm wrap this up, but check it out. Wayfair is a crazy story, and honestly, their startup story is awesome, and you should definitely follow in their footsteps and what they did. I know I am. So we'll see you in the next episode. Take care.